Right now it's time for Talking Animals. I'm Duncan Strauss, and I'm really delighted to be bringing you another edition of Talking Animals, in which we'll be speaking about feral cats and how to help and adopt them with Rihanna Sachs, founder of the Little Cats Rescue. First, though, as always, we're kicking off the show with an animal tune. This is the Hot Club of Cowtown with an apt piece called Wildcat here on Talking Animals. This is the Hot Club of Cowtown with a piece called Wildcat, an animal tune, as we ease into today's edition of Talking Animals. My name's Duncan Strauss, here with our program that is devoted to all subjects in the animal kingdom. More information about the show and past guests, as well as archives and iTunes podcasts, I invite you to visit our website, talkinganimals.net. In just a few minutes, we'll be speaking with today's guest, Rihanna Sachs, founder of the Little Cats Rescue, an organization serving the greater Tampa area, whose efforts are chiefly devoted to rescuing the feral cat population. We'll discuss feral cats, the little cats' tireless efforts to spay and neuter, and then adopt out these felines, and much more about the organization when we speak with Rihanna Sachs in a few moments here on Talking Animals. And as usual, we'll also welcome your questions and comments at 813-239-9663 or by email at dj@wmnf.org. All right, well, actually, Rayanne is in the studio, so we're going to skip over other stuff and get right into the comedy corner so we can get that much sooner into speaking with Rihanna. So let's get into that comedy corner now. Of course, that always, as always, involves animal-oriented comedy. This is Sean Cullen with a snippet of a relevant piece called Cats on today's Comedy Corner on Talking Animals.
It's all, you know, it's sad. But my two cats, and this probably all cats do this, but I always found it really quite strange. When you're there and they have a litter box where they throw their candy wrappers and cigarette butts. Oh, they just, no. You have your litter box and you scoop out the horror and filth with the scoop. Oh. You put it in a plastic bag and give it to someone. We exchange it all around my building. But, you know, and it's all fresh and clean, and you put in fresh litter, and it's all beautiful and pristine. Both cats leap in, squat down, and drill a stream of urine violently into the... And then walk out. Get a load of that little nugget. It's really strange. But I imagine what they're doing is just claiming their territory, you know? They're claiming their little place. And it would be great if in life you could do that. You know, like some friend comes over with a car and says, "Hey, look, I just bought this new car. Oh, it's nice. It's mine now!"
All right, that was Sean Cullen with a snippet of a piece called Cats, taken from his album simply entitled Live. I'm Duncan Strauss. This is Talking Animals. Our website is talkinganimals.net. Where not only all our past programs are archived, but most are available now as podcasts in iTunes. For example, our last show with the legendary Paul Watson, currently seen on the TV series Whale Wars. We also have a link to the Talking Animals MySpace. We're looking for friends, and there's a place to subscribe to our semi-monthly email newsletter so we can keep you posted on forthcoming guests, program news, and more. That's talkinganimals.net. It's nearly time to speak with today's guest, Rihanna Sachs, so let me quickly outline a few important details about her. As I mentioned a moment ago, she is the founder and CEO of the Little Cats Rescue, an organization serving the greater Tampa area whose efforts are chiefly devoted to rescuing the feral cat population. Based in Newport Richey, Little Cats operates a sanctuary where its flock of felines, once spayed or neutered, reside, some permanently, some before being adopted. And these folks spay, neuter, and adopt a lot of cats. So there's much to discuss. Let's get started with a reminder that we invite you to join the conversation by calling 813-239-9663 or emailing us at dj@wmnf.org. Let's welcome Rihanna Sachs to Talking Animals. Hi, Rihanna.
Hi, Duncan.
How are you?
I'm fantastic.
Thanks for trekking over. We rarely get in-studio guests, so I'm always very thrilled and excited when we do.
Well, I'm very honored to be here. Thank you.
Cool. Well, of course, we'll want to delve into what TLC Rescue, if I may call it TLC Rescue, does, and all sorts of things I hope we can learn about feral cats. But first, maybe you could just give us a bit of history, when and how you created the organization and under what circumstances?
Well, I'm told by my mom that my love of cats began when I was a child because instead of giving me teddy bears, she'd give me little stuffed cats to carry around by the tail. Growing up, we mostly had dogs, and I do love dogs. When I moved back to Florida from California, I began to volunteer at a place that's very dear to my heart, the Big Cat Rescue, which at the time was known as Wildlife on Easy Street. While I completely loved working there with the big cats, my heart kept getting drawn to the little ones. They have a little colony of domestic cats that I took responsibility for out there. I actually saved my first cat, Zachariah T. Cat, who is the founding cat of TLC Rescue.
I know that cat from your website, yeah. littlecatsrescue.org.
He was an amazing guy. You can read all about him at the website. Stopped rescuing cats and moved to California, came back, and was living in a condo in Tarpon when I was volunteering at Wildlife on Easy Street. And the cats just kept coming to me, and I would take them and find a vet and get them fixed and try to get them homes. And as I just realized, my heart belongs to the little ones, we began to incorporate. And I could not for the life of me come up with a name. I kept wanting Haven in it, but that's in so many names.
Mm-hmm.
And I kept thinking, well, what are we going to do that's a little different than most rescues? Well, extra tender loving care. Okay, tender loving care, that's TLC. The little cats. There you go. There it was.
Cool.
Shortly after that, I got an email, unbeknownst to either one of us. Wildlife on Easy Street decided to change their name to Big Cat Rescue. So we're inextricably connected, I think.
Yeah, well, that's there's something in the air, I guess, because that was happening almost simultaneously, if I'm not mistaken.
Pretty
right?
much, yeah, within weeks.
Yeah. So one thing I just want to touch on before we move on, just because, it's one thing we have in common is a little bit of California in our background. What were you doing out there? Were you involved with Animal Rescue when you were in California? Or?
Well, I did volunteer for IDEA in Defense of Animals mm-hmm. for some time, but my focus at that time was I worked in a synagogue and I worked for a rabbi, and I was very much in that direction. I had my four cats that came from Florida to California with me and back again.
Wow.
I still have one, Rudy. He's 17 years old and going strong.
That's very impressive. And is he in pretty good health?
He's fantastic. I actually found him in Florida wandering around the Toys R Us parking lot at 6 weeks old.
Wow.
So he's been my boy for quite a while.
That's great. Now, you mentioned that your mom says this goes way back, but I guess more perhaps in your adulthood. I mean, why cats? What draws you to cats? What do you like about them? And what particularly, I guess, prompts you to feel like you want to really help them in the way that you do day to day now?
I think I like, there's so many reasons to like cats, and I love dogs and I love all animals. But the cat, it's kind of reminds me of baseball, which is my favorite sport. It's very subtle.
Hmm.
People say, oh, cats, you know, they just lay around or whatever. But if you really know a cat and you watch that cat, their body language and their expressions on their eyes, they're very intelligent. They love you unconditionally. And they are opportunists. They will survive. But as the old saying goes, dogs have owners and cats have staff.
Well, there you go. That's indeed. Now, let's then talk about feral cats, and maybe we should begin with something of a tutorial. I mean, what is a feral cat, and what exactly differentiates a feral cat from what otherwise might just be considered a homeless cat?
Okay. Or feral cats basically are cats that have been born out in the wild or have been put out there when they were so young that they don't have much, if any, contact with humans. They will roam until they can find a place that they feel safe and be fed. And unless they're fixed, they're going to multiply. So a feral cat more than likely cannot be. There's TNR, which means trap, neuter, return.
Yeah, certainly one thing I wanted to ask you about.
Monitor those colonies.
Yeah.
Make sure they don't come up with any injuries. Feed them. Make sure they're vaccinated. Keep them safe. TNA, trap, neuter, and adopt. I'm not sure if that's even a phrase, but I think
it is now.
It is
and,
now.
You're
it is
credited
now.
With it. I'll be your witness. Yeah.
We cannot adopt our way out of this crisis. The homeless and feral cat crisis is just staggering. But those kittens that are young enough to be socialized, we pull them from the colonies, socialize them, get them fixed, and ultimately, hopefully, find them homes.
So is that the criteria then that TLC Rescue uses to determine whether a feral cat should be rescued and what that rescue constitutes? In other words, the TNR versus the TNA, for
right.
example?
It's not fair to the cat who, this is his home outside. He lives here. He's familiar with here. He's hopefully fairly safe. And because he's so beautiful and you want to adopt him, you want to see him be in a home, take him out of that environment, get him fixed. He'd have to stay in a cage to get socialized. More likely than not, they're not adoptable. They need to go back to their home as quickly as possible after they're fixed. Because a lot of what happens, if you take a cat that is a feral cat and you adopt him, he may get out, and what they're going to do is they're going to try to find their way home. And no matter how far away that is, they tend to find their way there if they don't come across a car in the meantime.
So the key thing, I guess, then, is how young the cat in question is.
Young and social.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You don't want to take a 10 or 12-week-old kitten, if you possibly can, and put it back outside, because its lifespan is going to be very short.
Right.
But then, say, a 6-month-old cat who is either so scared and so shy that he wouldn't be adoptable, or aggressive, needs to go back to his home.
Yeah. Yeah. Interesting. So in terms of either sort of procedure that happens from TLC Rescue with these cats involves spay and neuter.
Absolutely.
So when those just to sort of put this in a mathematical kind of context, when those procedures, meaning spay and neuter, aren't performed, the numbers, I guess, can become quite staggering. Can you sort of run through the potential number of new cats that an unsterilized female cat could give birth to and then be responsible, really?
Absolutely.
For giving birth to?
A female cat can get pregnant at 4 months old, which,
wow,
she's just a baby herself.
Yeah.
She can have 6 kittens. She can have less. Those kittens will eventually be weaned, and when they're 4 months old, they're going to have starting a little of kittens. One statistic I heard was that in 7 years, an unspayed female and her offspring can produce 420,000 cats.
Wow. Well, that is that's the very definition of using the word exponential, then, in terms of the explosive growth.
It is critical. Spay and neuter. If you're feeding cats, stray cats, God bless you, but please get them fixed.
Yeah.
You can go to our website. It's www.thelittlecats.org for a list of low-cost spay-neuter facilities.
Oh, great. That was one of my next questions. But let me also let listeners know, this is Talking Animals. If you just joined us, we're speaking with Rayanna Sachs, founder of the Little Cats Rescue. If you'd like to join the conversation, ask Rayanna a question, please call 813-239-9663, or you can email us at dj@wmnf.org. So let me, this might be as good a time as any to sort of ask more about, you referred to it, but TNR, trap and release, what is it, how does it work, and to what extent does TLC engage in it?
Well, we do have several feral colonies that I'm somewhere in the vicinity of over 80 cats, I'm sure, that we were able to trap, neuter, and safely return and monitor their colonies. Many of them were adopted, the younger social ones. You asked me before about the difference between a feral cat and a stray cat, or homeless cat, or free-roaming cat. A free-roaming cat, a stray cat, somebody who's been kicked out of his home, has gotten lost, and has made his way trying to survive out there. Sad to say that at many of our feral colonies, people have dumped their indoor household cats. And those poor things, they don't know what to do. So they come running up to us, and we whisk them away and get them to, the first thing we do is get them tested for AIDS and leukemia, and spayed or neutered and vaccinated. And then we work with them in a foster home or at the sanctuary to find them the right match. So that's the difference between the stray cat and the feral cat.
Right. How socialized they are, or how socialized they can be, I guess.
Right.
Yeah. All right. Well, not surprisingly, perhaps, we've already got some folks who'd like to have called in, like to speak with you. Let's take a hi. You're on Talking Animals with Rayanna Sachs.
Yeah. Hi. My name is Melody. I'm from Tampa.
Hi.
Hi, Melody.
Hi, Rayanna. I wanted to ask you what your thoughts and opinions are regarding the impact of feral cat populations on local indigenous animals and songbirds and that sort of thing, and how you deal with that, how you balance the respect for these cats and also the respect for the local environment.
Well, I believe that most of the endangerment that comes to the wild animals and the birds is more from man than from feral cats. It's nature. These cats didn't choose to be born. They find themselves where they're at, and hopefully they can become a colony and be fed and that way they wouldn't be going after other animals.
Okay, well, thanks thanks for your call. Let's take another one. Hi, you're on Talking Animals with Rihanna Sachs. Hello?
Hello,
it's you.
Oh, good, thanks. I have a question for Dinah. We have a similar situation. We've adopted some feral cats, and one led to about 20 at this point in time.
Yeah.
We raised them from kittens, so most of them are socialized. But we haven't had very much luck, you know, finding homes. We're maybe a little too suspicious of people.
I can understand that.
But we live in a neighborhood, and we're pretty patient neighbors. Do you have any suggestions, of, you know, how to keep them from roaming? I've got about four or five that are pretty wild to live out in the backyard. I feed them good so they don't, you know, they don't hurt the birds and stuff like that. But they'll go over the fence and visit the neighbor's yard and stuff like that. Any suggestions?
Well, thanks for your call. Go ahead, Rihanna.
Sure. First, thank you for caring for them. I would hope that they're all fixed. And
he's gone. Sorry.
Hopefully, the first thing you want to do is get them all fixed. There are some products out there. You could look at one called Perfect Fence. There, if you go on the internet and find, there's different alternatives that you could put on your fence that would keep your cats in your yard and keep other cats out of your yard.
Cool. Okay. And there's still more callers, but I got to get back to some of my questions because I think this is really ties right into some of the things we were just talking about and really some of the calls, too. Sort of by the numbers, how many cats did TLC rescue spay-neuter last year or this year, however you'd like to answer, and how many of those were you able to adopt out?
Okay. I'm not a numbers person, so they're you know, generalities.
Ballpark, because you're a baseball fan. Ballpark,
yeah, right,
come on.
Right. Last year, we spayed or neutered close to 300, either feral cats and returned them or got them adopted.
Wow.
As far as adoptions go, the economy right now is kind of killing everybody. But last year, we averaged 20 to 25 adoptions a month.
Wow, that's that. I can't do the math, but I know that's no.
And we're anyway, a little we're a little bit different than some groups. There are some groups that are like us, but we don't believe in on the spur of the moment. I see this cat, I like this cat, I'm taking it home. We want to make sure that that's going to be a permanent, lifetime loving environment for that cat. And so we ask that the people, you know, spend a little more time with the cat. We match it. And we do home visits and we do vet checks and we just really work with people if there are any issues that come up, any problems. We work with everybody. It's a lifelong commitment on our part too, because we get to know these cats and what they need and what environment that they would be the best in.
That's great. Yeah, that sounds really much more careful. I mean, I certainly understand the organizations that, you know, again, are just so overwhelmed by the numbers
right.
do it differently. But this sounds like there's going to be a much better match and a much more long-term than relationship typically.
And it is difficult because a lot of people want instant gratification. But quite often we found if we don't spend a little bit more time with them, the cat often comes back. There's some whatever reason.
Yeah. Okay, let's take another call. Hi, you're on Talking Animals with Rihanna Sachs. Hello.
Hello?
Hi, it's you. It's your turn.
Oh, great. Thank you. I'm a mailman, and I rescued a couple of, they were probably about 6 weeks old when I rescued them, and I've fed and fattened them up, and I listen to y'all every month the first 2 weeks, and I was very excited to hear about the neuter and adopt program, because these kittens are so friendly. They'd make excellent inside cats, and I've lost a couple of cats to cars and stuff, so I never let my cats outside anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Good.
How do I find out more about the neuter and adopt program? And also, I did find out the Humane Society does low-cost spay neuters, but they notch the ear. Is there any way I can get low-cost without that to make them more adoptable?
Right. The notching of the ear is done for cats that are going to be returned to their colonies. It's an international symbol that shows that that cat has been tested, has been given a rabies shot, and has been fixed.
Yes, if you'll $10 to get it notched and then $65 to not. Is, you know, if I could do it without, then, you know, if I could get the same low price but without the notching, that'd be great.
Well, I know that Tampa Humane has different programs. One is the feral cat program. They do have some low-cost programs. But, again, if you go onto our website, there's a listing of low-cost spay-neuter options for you
again,
in the $30 to $40 range.
And again, their website is the Little Cats, make sure it's plural, catsrescue.org. So thanks so much for your call.
All right, thank you.
I know also, Rihanna, that the TLC has a sanctuary in Newport Richey, I believe, right?
We do.
Yeah. So, but I get the sense, just from sort of preparing for talking with you, that the facility is limiting what services TLC can provide. I mean, how so? And in a perfect world, what sort of alternative facility would you like to see having?
Well, right now the sanctuary houses either unadoptable cats that are getting ready to be adopted, waiting for their turn for FaceTime at our adoption center at the Trinity PetSmart. But it's not in a situation, a location that is conducive to having the general public in and out. It's in a residential area. We are so grateful to PetSmart for having donated those 10 cages up there. But I always liken it to the amount of cats that we have to need to be adopted. It's like taking a fire hose and try to funnel it through a thimble. We envision, and whether it be downtown Newport Richey, downtown Tarpon Springs, because cats, they don't belong in cages. We'd like to see a home, an older house that's in the right zoning, where the cats could live in a real-life environment, like as if it was a home, and people could come in at certain hours of the day, and as if it was PetSmart, only it's a house.
Mm-hmm.
So they're not in those little cages.
Sure.
Now, at our adoption center, we do have wonderfully dedicated volunteers that come in and spend hours there working with the cats so they don't just sit in cages all day long. They come out, they get held, they get groomed, they play. And that makes for a happier cat.
Sure. Again, this is Talking Animals. We're speaking with Rihanna Sachs, founder of the Little Cats Rescue. If you'd like to join the conversation, please call 813-239-9666 or email us at dj@wmnf.org. And we do have a few emails here, including one who asks, the Hillsborough Animal Services only allows 3 low-cost spay-neuter vouchers per year per person. Are there any other programs that offer this low-cost voucher for more cats to fix?
I really wouldn't be able to tell you who gives what, but I do know there's an organization called Spot, and they're you can get them on the internet as well. And there's Animal Coalition of Tampa. They do low cost spay neuter, and there are some in Pinellas County. There's Pet Love in Brooksville, Paws in Hudson.
Sure. And again, I think a lot of those sounds like are indicated on your website.
Yes, they're all on the website.
Yeah. So again, thelittlecatsrescue.org. We have one email question, one part we've already sort of dealt with, which is TNR resources and low-cost spay-neuter. But the other part of that question is how your sanctuary is free roaming.
Oh, yeah.
So
it's the whole house has been turned over to them. You really wouldn't be able to tell a person lives there, except I do have a bed that they share with me and an office. There are cat trees and windows and toys and hideaways and cubbies. They have everything they could possibly want in life, excellent food, lots of toys, and they all get along great. Now, sometimes, of course, they have to be caged if they're recovering from spay or neuter, if they have a cold, or if they're just being acclimated into the group. But they get along really well. It touches my heart every time I look over and I'll see 2 cats who aren't even of the same litter. And they're just cuddled up or grooming each other. And it really brings a tear to my
sounds,
eye.
Yeah, yeah, it sounds very sweet and very full of felines, which we like. So,
absolutely.
So someone just wrote in saying that at one point one of us may have said the website wrong. It is thelittlecatsrescue.org. I guess at one point one of us left out the word rescue. So it's thelittlecatsrescue.org. And we've got a full bank of lights here from phone callers. So we're getting, unfortunately, short on time, but we'd take this caller. Hi, you're on Talking Animals with Rihanna Sachs.
Hello.
Hello. It's you.
It's me.
Yeah, quick question, please.
Yes. My wife loves cats, and we've adopted several from the office and other places, and we always get them fixed and screened. And we run into a lot of problems with feline leukemia and feline AIDS, which we've had to put the cats down because of fear of contaminating the other cats. I wonder if she could address the issue of how prevalent that is, whether you all screen for that, any suggestions on that. I'll hang up and listen.
Okay, thanks so much for your call.
Yeah, we do test every cat that we adopt. The TNRs that we test them as well. Feline leukemia is not almost always. It is a fatal disease, and there really are no places for them to go and live unless you can find someone to adopt the cat who doesn't have any other cats or has another leukemia cat. It's very, very, it's easily transmitted between cats, not to people. Feline AIDS, on the other hand, just because a cat tests positive for the FIV antibody does not necessarily mean that he's going to come up with full-blown AIDS or that he's going to give it to anybody. That's transmitted through sex, and if you get him fixed, that's not going to happen, or bites, so you want to be careful to preferably have non-aggressive cats in the colony or in the home, and they could be with another AIDS cat. I do know plenty of people that have an AIDS-positive cat living peacefully with their non-AIDS cats. They can live into their 20s. They can never get sick. So there's a big difference between AIDS and leukemia. I don't know of any places where you could take a leukemia-positive cat that has room right now.
Wow. Okay, well, unfortunately, we're really sort of nearing the end of our time, so there's a couple things I want to be sure to hit before we run out of time. One of them is just sort of, you know, how all these TLC rescue operations are funded, and maybe related note how someone might contribute or donate to help you guys keep doing what you're doing.
Well, we are funded solely by donations from cat lovers. Our PetSmart partnership does give us some funding. We've got some very, very consistent and wonderful donors. Our adoption fees seldom cover the cost of getting that cat ready for adoption for you. And we have fundraisers. There's one coming up Saturday, in fact. If you find yourself down in Tarpon Springs on Dodecanese Boulevard at the Sponge Exchange, Joey's Boutique and Art on the Docks are putting on a party with they're going to have live Broadway tunes and a free Segway ride around the Anclote River to the person that wins the scavenger hunt. Prizes and refreshments, and again, it's all on our behalf. I would like to put in a plug for two cats that desperately need a foster home or an adoption.
Please do.
Zabu. Zabu is the most loving. He thinks he's a kitten. He's 6 years old. He does not like other cats. He needs to be in a home where he's the king, and he will lay in your arms. He's a brown tiger, and he is AIDS positive. He needs a foster home, preferably an adoption. And then there's Magic. Magic was brought to us. He was found taped up in a airtight box, declawed, and put next to a dumpster. Needless to say, he's a little scared, but he is loving and he wants very much to trust. He, again, doesn't. He's afraid of other cats. So if you have any ideas or where we could get these two guys' homes, please do email us. You can email us at the website.
And on one last note, we're sort of over our time now, but just very quickly, Ran, if you wouldn't mind addressing TLC Rescues is currently competing in a national contest. Maybe you could just quickly outline the details of that and how someone would find out more and how they would support you
through care2.com, and again, just go to our website. That's the easiest way. You can find anything you want on our website, www.thelittlecatsrescue.org.
And that would also be a way to vote for
Little Cats Rescue. Yes, you can link to it from
there.
Great.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, I'm sorry to say we got still some folks that called in and others that we would love to include, but I think we've run out of our time. But Rihanna, thank you so much for joining us today at Talking Animals. And again, that fundraiser is this Saturday, the 13th, from 1 to 5 p.m. And information on that presumably is on the website
as
well.
Yes, it is.
Right?
And my one last parting shot,
sure.
Please, if you're feeding them, fix them. Spay, please don't litter. Thank you.
All right. Well, thank you. It is the Little Cats Rescue, thelittlecatsrescue.org. I'm Duncan Strauss. You're listening to Talking Animals, where the show website is talkinganimals.net. Which I hope you'll visit to sign up for our email newsletter, subscribe to our podcast, check out our MySpace. We're looking for some friends just like you. It's all found at TalkingAnimals.net. It's time to proceed to name that animal tune. There'll be a prize, a Talking Animals baseball jersey to the first person who calls in at 813-239-9663 and correctly identifies this animal tune. All right, it's Name That Animal Tune on Talking Animals. Okay, we have just about reached the end of today's edition of Talking Animals. The program airs twice a month, specifically the first and second Wednesday of each month. So we'll return Wednesday, January 7th, when our guest will be Tom Ryder, who once worked for Ringling Brothers, looking after the elephants. And now, since then, became a whistleblower after witnessing Ringling's endemic abuse of its animals, now a central figure in a federal lawsuit. Multiple animal groups have brought against Ringling. So I hope you'll join me for that on January 7th. I'm Duncan Strauss. Thanks very much for listening. Have a good week. Be kind to animals. Be kind to others. Hold on. Let's see. Hi, you're on WNF. You know the answer.
Baby elephant walk.
No, that's really so close and yet not right. Hi. Hi, WMNF. Do you know the answer?
It's me?
Yeah.
Alley Cat?
There you go. What's your first name, sir?
Rick Interval.
Okay, Rick, stay on hold. We'll come get you. Okay. So, anyways, that's January 7th. Thanks very much for listening. Have a good week. Be kind to animals. Be kind to others. Be kind to yourself. Happy holidays to you and yours. We're closing out today's show, as always, with an animal song. This is Ry Cooter and his version of Three Cool Cats right here on WMNF Tampa. We'll see you January 7th.
Swinging their hips, splitting up a bag of potato chips, and three cool cats did three big flips for these three cool chicks.